Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren here, and I want to invite you to my new home, The Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. So what is The Big 615? Well, simply put, it's the official home of country music broadcasting live from Nashville to the world. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. Get the latest on country music, from your favorite artists to the hottest songs climbing up the charts. Oh, and it's commercial free. That means a whole lot more music and a whole lot more country. Hear it all on the Stormy Warren Show, weekdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. And I look forward to having you join me on The Big 615.
This is your country station,
The Big 615.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway,
inhaling and long exhaling,
Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
I replaced all my Lululemon shorts with Bird Dogs. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing, but fit way better. They actually look like khaki shorts, so I can wear them all day for my morning hike or bike ride to the bar. I can't stop wearing them. Join over 1 million guys who discovered the best shorts on the market. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB. Promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you.
Can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. Sometimes, in fact, the girl is a very real problem. But you wouldn't have it any other way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. 1 hour in the books, devoted primarily to the 24th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. Domingo Germán, the fourth Yankee to throw a perfect game. But for him, he makes his own unique history as the first Dominican-born pitcher. And also, first time in his personal history in his entire career that he's thrown a complete game. It only took him 99 pitches. Those Oakland A's, those young baby A's need to learn how to make a pitcher work. So we'll have more reaction. And I did just drop this on you right before the top of the hour, but Pepsi-infused ketchup. Are you in? And beyond that, I'd just love to know, when you go to a ballpark, what food must you have? It was a question that you posed to us for Ask Amy Anything on the last edition of the show. And in light of the Pepsi-infused ketchup heading to a ballpark near you for July 4th, what else do you have to have at the ballpark? I'm thinking ice cream in a helmet. That's my go-to. In a ballpark setting, the ice cream just tastes better coming out of a helmet. All right, so find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, named after the show. We are, in fact, working on a video version of Ask Amy Anything that will be up by this holiday weekend. Yes, I'm going to wear red, white, and blue. I'm so glad you asked, plus my American flag earrings. Free agency will also dominate the holiday weekend from the NBA. Lots of questions. Draymond Green being a huge one. James Harden being another. What about Damian Lillard from Portland, Oregon? We're pleased to welcome Trailblazers insider Aaron Fentress, who works for the Oregonian. I am going to start with the zillion-dollar question. How would you describe the state of the Blazers, Aaron, even as we're on the cusp of free agency that starts on Friday?
Armageddon. It is it is wild out here right now. There's all these different pockets of fans with different opinions about what should happen. Of course, everyone is on the edge of their seat waiting to see if Damian Lillard is going to demand a trade or stay. And there's a group of fans who are like, hey, maybe it's time to move him along, because they're in love with the idea of what Scoot Henderson can bring to this team along with Shaedon Sharpe. And then there are some who believe that those kids are too young and that the Blazers should have traded them for veteran talent to help Dame, who has remained so loyal to this team for so long. And instead of them making such moves, they basically drafted guys who are going to be really good in a few years. So there's a lot of angst out here. There's no doubt about that. There was some faux report the other day, or actually today, that Draymond Green was in town having dinner with Damian and but it was ridiculous. It was like there was a text and there was a tweet, and someone claimed they saw him at a restaurant, but there's no verification. I reached out to some NBA sources who said it was stupid, ridiculous, nonsensical. So I tweeted that out just to say, hey, this is what I'm hearing on the subject. But it's to the point where that's the type of thing that just gets legs and gets running, because Draymond Green, everyone would be excited about that. It changes the defense. Those two are BFFs. And, wow, could this be happening? But apparently not. So then everyone goes right back to, okay, well, what's going to happen then? So it's just been chaos. And quite frankly, I came into the offseason thinking, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be interesting. You got the draft and the lottery coming up and at least a top five pick and all that. And then right now I'm just done. Like, dude, y'all figure it out so I can stop worrying about this and go on vacation.
Oh, nice. When is vacation supposed to start, Aaron?
Well, it could be, pretty soon if they can do something or not do something. But my thing is, I don't want this to drag out into the summer. Because two summers ago, when Dame the first time he ever hinted that, hey, if we don't get things done, I could maybe want to leave, that just ruined my summer. Following that, and to the point where he finally said he was going to be back and they had figured things out. But, yeah, I'm just hoping this comes to a head sooner rather than later.
As best you can tell, Aaron, what does the fan base want? They've not won a title yet. They've come close to challenging. A lot of pieces around him have changed. What does the fan base want for Lillard specifically?
Well, I think that, let's say, the most in touch and heartfelt, intelligent fans sort of look at it like, look, they've been trying hard to bring, another star here to pair with Dame. They haven't been able to get it done. The Blazers have never, the biggest free agent signing ever was Kenny Anderson 20-something years ago. It's never been a free agent destination. It's tough to pull off trades, too, if guys are, only have 1 or 2 years left on their contract because they might not re-sign and need to give up a bunch of assets for them. So it's just been a really hard time for this franchise, especially since LaMarcus Aldridge left in 2016, because there was your other all-star big man, right? He just left for nothing. So I think, given the fact that they tanked the last two seasons, and given the fact that part of the reason they tanked, injuries kind of led to it, but the bottom line is they were going to get top 10 picks and then trade those picks for stars to rebuilding teams who want to move contracts. And instead they drafted a 19-year-old last year and a 19-year-old this year. So 19-year-olds are not going to help Damian Lillard get to where he wants to go. Now, I don't blame Joe Cronin, because I do believe that the offers they had for those picks in each year were not necessarily good offers. And so he didn't want to err on the side of, making a bad deal and mortgaging the future when maybe you're going to get two young players who right now will be comparable to the veterans you could receive. But the veterans are just, obviously going to be smarter and more experience, right, which is very valuable. So I get why he did that, but that doesn't help Damian. So if that's the case, where you can't slip those picks into something that Damian would want to work with, then it's just time to trade Damian, right? Just set him free, send him to a contender, let him go win. It's just like they did with Drexler in 1994, right? Just send Damian on to a contender, take back what you can get. Don't do a Bradley Beal deal. That's, that Washington has got completely fleeced. Don't do that. Get a good young player. Get some picks. Let Damian go off in the sunset, and then start your rebuild with Anthony Simons, Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe. And then you're probably going to be pretty bad, and so next year you get another lottery pick. And then you have all the picks you got in the Dame trade to move forward with. So I think that's where we are. It's like, if you can't get it done this summer, just trade Dame so we all can be done with this, and Dame can go somewhere and maybe win.
Aaron Fentress covers the Blazers for the Oregonian and is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, even as we get closer to the start of free agency on Friday afternoon. Aaron, just for a second, can you imagine the Blazers without Damian Lillard and what that looks like and feels like? He's been the heart and soul of that franchise for years.
Yeah, it's bizarre to think about. And not only is he is he the heart and soul and a great player? But I've covered a lot of things in my career. I've covered major college football. I've covered MLB. I've covered NFL, NBA. And he is easily the best interview subject I've ever experienced. He's great with the media. He knows what you're looking for, and he doesn't, like, withhold information necessarily. I mean, sometimes everyone, you know, sometimes has moments where they won't. But he's very open and honest about what's going on within a game, within the team, what he wants, what he sees. What he's fabulous, and he's such a great ambassador for the city. He's never gotten in any trouble. He gives back to the city. He's beloved here. It would be weird. My sort of, you know, from an objective standpoint, I'm not necessarily a fan, although I spent most of my life here. So I would rather see them win than lose. Plus, I'd rather cover the finals than tanking, right? So,
yeah.
Right. But it would just be bizarre not having him here, because he's such a part of the fabric of, you know, especially the sports community in this town. That said, I just feel like it's gotten to the point where, even though people would be sad to see him go, I think there's a lot of people that would be even sadder to see him stay and never have a chance to win. You know, off the top of my head, I thought this to be true, but I did a bunch of research on it. And in the last, like, 50 years, I only came up with two elite-level stars who spent their entire career with one team and never won a title. And that's Stockton and with Utah, and then Reggie Miller with Indiana. Now, Patrick Ewing left New York way after his prime. Like, he was no longer the Patrick Ewing that had been an elite center. So you can kind of count that if you want, but the bottom line is he did not finish his career in New York. And then, of course, Dominique Wilkins, sort of the same situation. Karl Malone left late, but he did go to the Lakers and try and make a run. So to me, that counts. But anyway, the point is that it's very rare for someone to stay somewhere for their entire career and not win the title. Stockton and Malone, and Ewing for that matter, at least got to the finals, right? For Dame to stay here and never even get to the finals and never even have even a crack at it, and to try and raise these young kids, and maybe they're ready in 3 years when he's 36, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So I just think most people would rather see him go somewhere and get a chance to win.
As best you can tell, what about general manager Joe Cronin? Is he leaving this up to Damian Lillard? Will they abide by Dame's wishes? Yeah. Any insight into how the management will handle this if Dame, in fact, does want out?
Right. So a lot of us who cover this team, we've been talking about this, and like a lot of us sort of sense that some of what's going on is no one wants to be the bad guy. Dame doesn't want to force his way out, right? And Cronin doesn't want to be the guy who trades away, you know, Damian Lillard. I think at some point, though, like, trade deadline is Friday. Let's say they strike out. Like, to me, the best you can probably do is maybe you can get OG still from Toronto. Like, that would be a great get, because you get more length, which this team needs. You get a defensive guy, an A-plus defensive guy, and a guy who can shoot it. Like, I think that alone and another veteran with the mid-level exception would probably appease Dame. But let's say they strike out on that. I just think they just have a meeting and just say, we've mutually decided to part ways.
Aww.
Like, I don't think it has – yeah, I just don't think it has to be contentious.
Right.
I think it can just be its time. And then – but see, here's where Cronin has to be careful, because he has to send Damian to a contender. And you can't gut the contender when you're sending him there. Like, there are some fans – like, I floated this – like, 6 weeks ago I wrote something. I put some options out there. I was like, this is before the playoffs. This is a long time ago. Like, how about Miami for Tyler Hero? You get a young player. Take Duncan, a contract for matching salaries, and then three firsts, unprotected. And some Blazers fans are like, you're crazy. If we trade him to Miami, we have to get Bam. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why is Dame going to go to Miami if Bam's coming to Portland? Like, what's the point? Hmm. He's going to Miami to play with Bam and Butler. You can't take Bam, because then now they're not as good. So that's where Cronin has to be careful, because he has to try and get what he can, but also send Dame into a place where he can win. And so that's going to be delicate, but how he executes that is going to go a long way in terms of him showing respect to Lillard. For one, the fact that he was always loyal to this team, which Cronin has been around for 11 years. He may be a new GM, but he was worked under Olshay for, I think, 8 or 9 years. And two, that you repay that loyalty by hooking him up You know, hook him up with a play. Because if you don't, if you try and pull off something where you send him somewhere that he has no chance to win, well, I mean, why would he want to even go there? He'd rather stay here and not have a chance to win than go somewhere else and not have a chance to win.
Right.
Then it makes you look bad because this guy gave you 2 years to fix it around him and you didn't. You went young. You chose to draft teenagers. And my joke has always been they need players on this team who can buy their own alcohol. Until you get more guys like that. Yeah, I mean, if you can't buy your own alcohol, you're probably not going to help Damian win. It took Kobe. Look, Kobe, we all know how great Kobe was. Kobe's first year, he averaged 7 points. His second year, he averaged 15. His third year, he was better, averaged 19. But still, if you look at his shooting percentages, they were kind of, you know, not fantastic. It wasn't until his fourth year that he really blew up, and that was the year they won the title. Well, Scoot's not Kobe, and Dame's not Shaq. So the idea that Scoot is going to come in here and fix this is ridiculous. Some fans kind of think that in a way. But anyway, at the end of the day, if they come together and say it's time and Cronin hooks a brother up, then I think everything will be cool.
Damian Lillard himself turns 33 mid-July,
and he's
coming off an incredible season. So
yep.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, Aaron, but would you say it's because the team around him was too young that they didn't make the playoffs for a second straight year?
In part, and that's what's fascinating about how everything has played out. So when they were healthy, and you guys all obviously fell in love with Josh Hart, right?
Of course.
Hart was, you know, Dame said many times, Hart was like, you know, a winning player, a glue guy. He did so many things for this team. But when Winslow got hurt, who was a really good defensive player and someone who could play point forward to help Dame and Ant on offense, and then Nurkic got hurt, the defense fell to pieces. They literally went, like, I think they rose in their defensive rating by 8 or 9 points. I wrote about it several times. It was somewhere around there. So then at the trade deadline, you lose Hart as well. Right? So there's a stretch there where you lost three of your best defensive players. Nurkic eventually came back, but then Anthony got hurt, and it just became a mess. But they were hanging in there. They were never more than a couple games out of 10, even within, like, 4 of 6. But especially when they got rid of Hart, that's when really things fell apart because he was one of the few veterans other than Winslow coming. Well, Hart started, but he was one of those few glue veterans that could really get the job done. So when those guys were gone, Coach Billups had to turn to Trenton Watford, 21, Nasir Little, 23, Keon Johnson, 21, Shaden Sharp, 19, and then 20. You get the point, right? Cam Reddish, who played in New York, obviously they had to turn to him. And he was up and down and inconsistent. He's still pretty young. So they said at the end of the season that one of the problems with the team was a lack of size, a lack of length, and a lack of veterans who understood how to play high-end NBA basketball in high-leverage situations. So one of their goals was to fix that this offseason.
Right.
And you end up drafting a 6'2", 19-year-old who plays the same position as your superstar.
It's interesting. It doesn't fit that way. Unless.
It doesn't fit at all.
Unless, Aaron, they're planning on trading him if he asks.
Exactly.
Meaning
exactly.
that would be the replacement, quote unquote. He obviously can't replace Dame, but if that's the thinking, then maybe it's some insight. It's complicated.
It's
wild. It is wild.
It's wild. That's why I say it's a soap. You know, and the other, like, so draft night goes down, and this is what's funny about the NBA. And you know, I mean, when you cover teams and. You deal with situations where you know you ask a question and you know they're not going to be honest because they really can't in that moment. But Cronin was asked, what are you going to do with Dame, Ant, Sharp, and now Scoot at the guard positions? And Cronin started out by trying to explain how the minutes would work. And it was just preposterous. It was like, dude, what are you talking about? And then he started talking about Dame and Scoot playing together. And I'm just like, come on. He may be great someday, but he wasn't even great in the G League. And you're going to start him maybe next to Dame? Like, that's a joke. That's not going to work. He's not Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson came in the league at 19 and played with Kareem. They won the title. Scoot is not Magic Johnson. So to even, you know, say that could be a thing and then try and justify it is just ridiculous. So they have to, you know, they have to at least trade Ant and hope they can flip him into someone comparable but at a different position. They do that. We'll see what happens. I know, it's tough.
Uh-huh.
Ant's pretty good. He's still developing. Like, if Ant were running his own show, I think he'd put up some pretty incredible numbers. Would they be necessarily efficient enough winning numbers? I don't know, but he would put up numbers. But anyway, it's just wild out here, and I just want it done.
Yes. So vacation can be a thing. Aaron Fentress is with us from Portland. And just before I let you go, Any thoughts, and this is personal, obviously, from knowing Dame, where he might fit if, in fact, the Blazers trade him? Yes.
You know, strictly from a place where he can win and you can get something back, Miami by far is the best destination. I think Phoenix looked interesting, you know, if you wanted to do for Ayton, but Phoenix doesn't have any picks. Like, they gave up all their picks to get Durant,
right.
So you can't get picks from them. Philly, I'm sure it's pretty short on picks because of the Harden trade. But, you know, someone like Massey is interesting as a talent. I mean, you become redundant because now you have three small guards, right? So you got to do something there. But you want to get the best talent and then figure it out later. But I don't think they have any picks. I don't see New York as a fit. I know Stephen A. Smith is on his Dame to New York thing all the time, but I just don't know what that would look like. And then, you know, like I said, he's got to go to a winning situation. And just when I look around the league, like people talk about the Lakers don't have anything to offer worth
right.
a damn. Like that's just not going to happen. So I just think as far as teams that can win and have something to give Portland, I just feel like Miami is by far the top spot. And he's good friends with Bam. He's good friends with Butler. And according to latest reports, Miami is hanging around like vultures, just waiting. As a matter of fact, I see a vulture circling around right now with a Miami Heat logo on his wings. Yep, there he is. He's waiting.
You better be careful. You start some rumors and people blow up over social media. What, there's
exactly.
a plane from Miami getting into Portland? What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Well, this will be fun. We'll see, because free agency starts on Friday. And yes, it would be jarring to see Dame anywhere else, but it's not as though he hasn't given Portland everything he's had, heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears for the last 10 years. He's tried
100%.
To win there. So, yeah, interesting yeah. stuff. All right, so I already followed Aaron on Twitter because I need to know what's going on here. You can find him at Aaron J. Fentress, F-E-N-T-R-E-S-S, covers the Blazers for the Oregonian. Vacation.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in, anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
And we hope is in your future, but not yet, Aaron. Not yet. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
No problem. Thank you.
Really interesting, right? The twists and turns, the possibilities, and the fact that nothing's leaked. No one really has any idea what's going to happen there. But I like some of the options that Aaron offers based on what Joe Cronin has done to this point. And also it reminded me of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers when he said nobody wants to be the bad guy here. Cronin doesn't want to be the guy who traded away Damian Lillard, and Dame doesn't want to be the guy who asks. But it might be the best thing. I would love for them to win with Dame there in town. I would. But I also recognize that he's been there a lot of years. He's given everything he's got, physically as well as mentally, emotionally, socially, all that jazz. It hasn't worked. In part because of management, in part because it's been a tough go in the West the last few years. Think about it. Dame's been there since 2012, so the 12-13 season. The last, what, 9 years? The Warriors have dominated the West. The better part of the last 9 years, the Warriors have dominated the West. And as they exit stage left, or as they take a break from dominating, we've got LeBron in the West. And they win in 2020, the Lakers. Now the Nuggets, who've been around for a few years, but have finally capitalized on their talent. The West has been deep. It's challenging to win there. And I think there's an excellent point that Aaron makes too, is Portland's not a vacation destination. Oh, I meant to say a free agent destination, but he was talking about vacation. I'm sure it's a vacation destination. So for Blazers fans, this is a big deal. It's their one team. They're one team. And if they lose Dame, they don't have a superstar. They don't have a star. I thought it sucked when CJ McCollum got traded. This would be worse. Far worse. All right. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. I see now that producer Jay has put up our ketchup-infused ballpark question. On Independence Day. This is a thing. Pepsi will offer soda-infused ketchup at a baseball stadium near you. Clearly, by the emojis that Jay uses, you can tell what he thinks of it. Jay, I feel like you're leading the audience. Maybe the audience will like soda-infused ketchup.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty standard response, no?
If it was a standard response, do you think Pepsi would try it if they believed nobody would eat it or use it?
I think it's so outrageous that people will flock to it.
Exactly. Curiosity killed the baseball fan. So soda-infused ketchup. Now, we're not really asking if you're going to try that, but what we are asking you is your favorite ballpark food, and do you need ketchup for it? All right. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, here I'm retweeting. And then it's also on our Facebook page. We'll ask Marco Belletti when he joins us here in studio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
First, I just want to thank you and all your colleagues for keeping me busy while I work all night.
You're welcome.
Hey, Amy, how's it going tonight?
Great.
Good. I just started listening to you about a month ago. I'm a new night pharmacist.
Hey, Amy, I really enjoy the enthusiasm you bring to the early morning hours. It's so nice to listen to someone this enthusiastic this early in the morning.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Thanks for putting on a good show every night. I listen to it at work.
Awesome.
It really helps me get through the night.
I appreciate that you're tuning in. Thank you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I got to tell you something funny. I did a podcast, or actually I think it was a show on satellite radio, and we recorded it on Wednesday evening. And it was one of those occasions, now this has happened before in my career, where the host of a particular show who brought me on as a guest did not have the correct name of the show. I remember a few years ago, I was doing Eric Hasseltine's show in Memphis. So he's no longer hosting an afternoon show in Memphis, but he's the voice of the Grizzlies, and we're friends. He's a friend of mine. And he did not know the name of the show when he introduced me. And I gave him such crap for it. Now, there have been other times where hosts have introduced me and they've gotten the name of the show wrong, or they didn't have the correct info, and I didn't necessarily jump in. But this was a half hour long show that I was recording, and the guy goes on and on with my bio. He clearly had picked, direct chunks from my bio to read as my intro. And then three times he says what he thinks is the name of the show. It's not the name of the show. He called it the late night show with Amy Lawrence. And I thought, that's not even remotely close. So the third time I said, hey, sorry, I'm just going to cut in and tell you just to make sure we have the right info. The show is called After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So didn't make a huge deal of it. Just he corrected himself. The next time he said it, though, oh, I want to make sure I get this correct. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I thought, well, dude, isn't that your job to have the name of the show correct? It's not my fault that you brought me on board. Not just that. He asked me weeks ago. You had weeks to prepare and know the name of the show. And you tell me you're a fan and that you listen all the time, but you don't know the name of the show. So should I have just let him go on and make a fool of himself or what?
No, I could see correcting it. I mean, I don't know if he was going for the, you know, the whole Johnny Carson thing with Late Night with Amy Lawrence. I don't know if that was where the confusion lies, but
I mean,
again, once you're, it's almost kind of like the, if you're going to put a resume or if you're going to send an email to someone, the least you can do is spell their name right.
Yes, exactly.
That's kind of the least you can do.
Exactly.
Same concept. If you're going to have someone on your show, the least you can do is pronounce their name properly,
right,
and know where they come from.
Right. I wouldn't think it'd be too much to ask.
That's kind of the point of doing an interview. Those are the two things you must have.
I don't charge people. I pretty much will agree to any interview as long as we can work it out on my time. I had charged my phone. I was using my landline. I accommodated his timing. I'd gone back and forth with him, emails for weeks. And I don't think it's too much to ask. He did not use my social media. He didn't tell people where to find me. All right, that's fine. But he didn't have the name of the show right either. So that was really the, I couldn't deal with that.
Pronunciation and why are you here? Where
Come
are
on,
you
man.
From? Yes, those are the two things that are necessary.
Yeah, I don't ask too much, but I felt like not knowing the name of the show was probably, that would be the last straw. So I had, after three times, I thought maybe the first time he was just nervous and got it wrong.
Hey, at least you pronounced your name right.
Yes, Rick Tuchet. Marco Belletti is here in studio. You are a big baseball fan, and we saw this article in USA Today. Pepsi is planning to trot out a soda-infused ketchup in honor of July 4th. Don't ask me why July 4th would be the time. Maybe it's just something special for Independence Day. I don't know, because in the United States, we celebrate our independence with crazy food. Well, we do the stupid hot dog eating contest. Sorry, I think it's stupid. Anyway, would you try soda-infused ketchup is the first question, Marco.
Wait.
Yes.
Soda.
So soda
is it like soda
ketchup
that tastes like ketchup, or is it
ketchup,
ketchup that
tastes like soda? It's ketchup. It's not soda.
Ew, I don't.
Who would drink ketchup flavored soda?
People eat ketchup chips. Ew. I don't know. Why would I want ketchup to taste like soda?
Exactly my point. But they are, in fact, trying. I'll read you a line from it. They are in fact trying. Pepsi's newest pitch: cola infused ketchup for hot dogs at baseball parks on July 4th. All right, you put Pepsi on your hot dog and don't just wash it down with a Pepsi. That's the line. PR firm says the concept is both simple and creative.
That was beautiful.
Here, look, it's on Pepsi's Twitter. Hot dogs better with Pepsi.
Yeah, to drink.
No, you can get the Pepsi infused. It's called Pepsi.
You wash it down.
Wait, hold on. Introducing, I'm not joking, this comes directly from Pepsi's Twitter. Introducing Pepsi Cola Chup.
Oh,
ew.
I swear to you.
Don't
it's,
give it a name.
Wait, it's got a name. Stop the condiment wars. The undisputed champ is here. Pepsi Cola Chup. Sweet, salty, ready to try at select baseball stadiums on July 4th. Why would you want your hot dog to have sweet Pepsi-infused ketchup on it? I just don't.
Whoa, why is it salty?
Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. But you have to have a ticket for the Pepsi Lounge, of course. Target Field in Minnie, Comerica Park in Detroit, and Chase Field in Arizona are some of the ballparks where you can get Pepsi-infused ketchup.
All right, some things are just not supposed to be
Pepsi
mixed. That's
Cola
Chup.
Cola Chup.
Oh.
How would... Cola Chup.
How are we ruining ketchup and
exactly
soda? Like, how the hell did we get to that?
Ag Exactly. So would you try it?
No.
Okay. Well, then what's your favorite ballpark food without Cola Chup?
Oh.
Isn't that the weirdest? It's just an odd combo.
Oh, it just sounds awful.
I'm with you. It sounds horrible.
What color is it? Is it red? Is it black? Like what?
I think it's blue.
Oh.
Wait, let me look again.
Why would it be blue?
I don't know. It's in a blue container. I'm not sure.
Well, Pepsi's a blue container, but no, that can't be. No,
I'm just telling you. The crazy part is it's an icky color. No, it almost looks like a barbecue sauce with a hint of red, so it's a little bit sketchy anyway.
Do you guys remember the green and like purple ketchup from the early 2000s?
Yes.
Purple? I remember
like
green.
Purple, green, yeah.
I don't remember the purple. I'm
totally
wrong.
Wait, there's more. The distinct flavors and vibrant citrus blend of Pepsi enhances the bright and tangy characteristics of ketchup, offsetting the smokiness of the hot dog. They actually wrote a PR release for this thing.
There's like science behind this.
Cola Chup.
I'm confused.
Cola Chup.
What part of this is citrus?
I think like, it's the ketchup, the tangy. It says the bright and tangy characteristics of ketchup. The vibrant citrus blend of Pepsi. Oh, no.
What?
Maybe not. The vibrant citrus blend of Pepsi.
When did Pepsi become citrusy? Like, what do...
I don't know. They created the ketchup with Pepsi as an ingredient, I'm reading directly from the PR, the release. Letting you literally put Pepsi on your hot dog and not just wash it down with a Pepsi.
You know, I got to tell
That's gross.
I would rather take the hot dog itself and dip it into the Pepsi. Then put whatever the hell that is on top of the hot dog.
Now, see, the thing is, I'm a Coke girl. I don't drink Pepsi products anyway, but this just, to me, sounds like throw up waiting to happen.
Now, I will admit.
Cola Chup, but up Chuck.
I'm more of a Pepsi guy, I will say I haven't had a soda in years. Mm. I finally gave it up, but I was basically a 2 liter a day of Pepsi.
I
was very, very addicted.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff on its own. I'm not mixing it with ketchup. That's disgusting. And I don't know why. I feel like we got to go back to like the line from Jurassic Park. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I feel like we should have took time to step back and say, should we really be doing this?
Oh, fantastic.
And the answer is no.
You really
shouldn't do that.
Life finds a way.
Okay, but what is your favorite ballpark food if it's not Cola Chup?
I don't know anymore. Now I got to tell you, the last thing I want is food. That's just disgusting. And it looked blue. How the hell did it become blue?
Yeah, I'm gonna retweet it.
It looked like a slushy. How is that possible?
I'm not sure. It's icky. But anyway, what is your favorite ballpark food?
I used to like hot dogs, but now I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like they've ruined everything. Thank you. You ruined food for me. Oh, that's awful.
I didn't know that was possible.
That's Marco. Awful.
All right. Cola Chup.
Oh.
Cola Chup. Oh, he loves ketchup. I wonder if Patrick Mahomes would eat it. He loves ketchup.
I like ketchup too. Real ketchup.
Yes, me too.
Not blue slushy whatever.
Okay,
with citrus flavor.
Enough. I got a show to do here. Blah, blah.
Oh, that's awful.
All right, and on that note, you get to do an update. So find us on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and let us know, would you or would you not, and what is your favorite ballpark food? Because no, hot dogs are not better with Cola Chup.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The Suns lead it, and now Chris Paul brings the ball up into the front court. Ball drives down the left side, cuts across the lane, has a 14-footer. Good if it goes, it's gone.
Yeah, Chris missed those shots in the first game. That high pick going left back to the right side of the lane makes that mid-range jump shot.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Al McCoy on Suns Radio, though Chris Paul is no longer a member of the Phoenix Suns. Instead, he is currently with the Golden State Warriors in a move that sent Jordan Poole packing and brought in CP3. Don't know if it will remain that way. There are a lot of rumors out there. There's a bunch of speculation about Chris Paul being on the move again, or the Warriors not keeping him. But for now, he is part of Golden State. So it's interesting to hear the reaction from guys like Steph Curry. Now, Steph and Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers, are in Vegas getting ready to play in the match against Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. And we'll look at that and hear from them coming up next hour. But first, Steph, on what Chris Paul can add to the Warriors. And again, we don't know if he'll be on the roster, but the idea of it is at least intriguing.
It's going to be amazing. You know, it's obviously a big change. Consider all the history that we've had for it, and you know, me and him going way back to North Carolina days, and you know, him kind of being my mentor when I was coming out of college, and being able to work out with him and learn the ropes. So one thing about CP, he said it, you know, all the time, is that he makes, you know, teams that he's on better. And I think for us, that's what, why the move was made, and just an opportunity for us to try to compete at the highest level and, you know, get back to a championship, level team, and making sure all the pieces fit. So just excited about the unknown and the opportunity behind it, because you know it's going to be a lot of high IQ guys in the locker room trying to figure it out.
On the Wire podcast, Steph Curry uses the word amazing. Now, is that amazing with Draymond Green or amazing without Draymond Green? Because that's a major story as well. Draymond has opted out of his contract and certainly could re-sign with the Warriors. It's a very distinct possibility. I think right now, if you check the pulse of most NBA analysts and insiders, they would tell you that the most likely scenario, yo, is for Draymond to return on what would be a long-term deal. A free agent deal, essentially, so that, A, he can get more money, right? I mean, that is usually why athletes are opting out, if they believe that they can get a better contract, but it's also the long-term security. So is it Draymond Green part of the mix or no? Because I don't care how many Chris Pauls you add to the team. If Draymond's not part of the Warriors, they look completely different. He's the reason why they have succeeded playing small ball. But obviously, Draymond is a really attractive option for a lot of different teams. He's one of the best forwards in the league. He's a great defender. He's intense. You don't have to love his leadership style, but he is also a leader. He brings a fire and a passion to the game, which sometimes bites him and his team in the arse. But it's there. He and Steve Kerr have quite a relationship. And obviously that relationship has made the Warriors go for a long time. And I mean, everybody looks at the players, the core players, but a lot of it has to do with what Steve has brought to the table as their head coach.
Best part of playing for a guy like Steve is I can ask him what it was like playing for that dynasty run with the Bulls, or what it was like playing with the Twin Towers. My personal favorite growing up in Portland, I always ask him about what the Blazer days were like with Rasheed and Damon. And just to be able to gain that knowledge from Steve, and he makes you appreciate the present more than anybody I know, just because of how special this is of an opportunity, not just be in the NBA, but like you said, to compete for championships. I mean, it's so rare, and to be a part of a team who's done it multiple times and look forward to doing it again. It's something I don't take for granted. I know Steph doesn't. And Steve is just such a great person at monitoring personalities and getting the right staff around him. And it would be hard to envision playing for somebody else just from what we've been through.
So Steph and Klay, they've got golf on their minds. But hours after the match in Las Vegas, free agency gets underway. What do you think? Are they reaching out to Draymond on a daily basis like he blew up Kevin Durant's phone when he wanted KD to join the Warriors going back a few years? We'll talk more about it next half of the show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.